Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So I understand that some will try to delay action until the special interest can kill it, while others will simply focus on scoring political points. We've done that before. And we can choose to follow that playbook again, and then we'll never get over the goal line, and we'll face an even greater crisis in the years to come. That's one path we can travel. Or we can come together and insist that this time it will be different.
President Obama there speaking yesterday about health care reform. He's been going out every day, and he's going to go out in a big way tonight at 8 o'clock tonight. WNYC.org and AMA20 will have live coverage of President Obama's primetime news conference, expected to be mostly about health care reform. And we can watch it together. I will be hosting a live chat on our website during the news conference, so we can watch it together. We can discuss what the president is saying and what the reporters are asking as it's taking place. That's our live chat at WNYC.org tonight at 8. You are invited. And I thought that right now we might spend a few minutes taking your health questions for the president. Now that this debate has been in full swing for a while, what would you ask President Obama about his health reform plan? People have already packed our lines, surprise, surprise, at 212-433-WNYC. But as people finish up, because we'll keep each of these pretty short, 212-433-WNYC. We know that people from the networks listen to this show. Maybe your question will actually get picked up and used tonight, even if you don't get credited, which you won't. 212-433-WNYC, or post it to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And in any case, this is a way for us to have a live on-air chat right now before our live online chat tonight during the news conference. We've been having members of Congress here, as you know, and other guests to talk about the plan the last few weeks. And as always, with your voices in the mix, so today it's just us. You be the journalist. What would you ask President Obama about the health care plan tonight? 212-433-WNYC. Maybe one of those journalists from an accredited news organization is listening in and will actually use your question. Gil in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Gil.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Buddy? What's your question for the president?
Medicaid covers the cost of transportation for all patients who are in wheelchairs or disabled, but Medicare doesn't. Is there any way that that's going to change? Will Medicare cover that cost? Because transportation to the doctor or to the hospital is really preventative medicine. You know, it's very expensive to go in an ambulance, but to go in an ambulette or a medical taxi is cheap in comparison.
Gil,
so why doesn't Medicare cover the cost, and will the new government plan cover that cost?
That's a great question, and people have so little clue about the difference between what Medicare and Medicaid cover unless they're in the position of having used both. And as we talk about a public option plan, people have had a hard time getting specific, and you've heard it if you've heard some of the vague answers to questions that we've posed here. What's going to actually be covered in the public option plans? What's the premium actually going to be, and how much cheaper is it really going to be than the private insurance? So all these things yet to be answered. Valerie in Rybrook, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Valerie.
Yes, good morning. I would like to ask the president when his plan is attacked. When they say that you wouldn't want to have somebody standing between you and your doctor, he does not talk about the fact that currently there is somebody that stands between you and your doctor, and that is a stockholder. Because if you're using an HMO or an insurance company, there are stockholders that, you know, people own stock in HMOs and they own stock in insurance companies. And somebody's making a dollar about the fact that you are going to see your doctor.
And insurance companies deny claims. And
exactly.
You have to fight them, and they stand between you and your doctor in an infuriating number of cases.
Yes, and there are clerks who do not have medical degrees are deciding whether or not you can have a treatment or a test, and that's ridiculous.
I think the president does acknowledge that when he speaks. We'll hear how explicitly he does it tonight. But we're going to have another segment on healthcare next hour with Peter Overby. I don't know if you follow his NPR work. But he's NPR's power, money, and influence correspondent, Valerie, one of the great titles ever for a journalist. And he's looking at the lobbyists and what they're doing with respect to influencing this health care legislation.
Brian, so, what America needs is to have a primetime show on TV with you on it.
Well, I don't know about that, but we're glad that Peter Overby is doing this for NPR anyway. Valerie, thank you. Lee in Scarsdale, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lee.
Hi there. The administration is claiming that there will be a lot of saving in their plan and in health care, either through increased efficiencies or other means. But really no one believes their numbers, and they need to do a much better job of describing exactly what the savings are and maybe even put it all on the web.
What would be convincing to you with respect to that? What would you want to see? If you were in the position of choosing as a private buyer of health insurance between Cigna and Aetna and Oxford and whoever's out there and this new public option, what would convince you to buy into the public plan?
Is that a question to me?
Yes, it is.
Well, it would have to be like any other consumer, a mixture of the cost and the benefits and the quality of the care. And they have to make the case to me that that public plan would offer that. But it's not a question of a public plan versus a private plan. It's much more complicated than that. I think people fear that they're going to push everyone to a public plan. I think they need to talk more about all the integrated changes they'll be making, not just the threat of a public plan or a private plan.
Right, you're talking about the cost saving. You want the president to answer how he's going to push costs down overall.
Yeah, because the average American family, I guess I heard, spent $15,000 a year. I think this is a key issue that's affecting the economy, affecting employers. Bringing costs down is going to positively affect a lot of things, but how do you do it?
Thank you very much. And that is one of the most difficult things. There's a good David Leonhardt article on that in the New York Times today about the president challenged to bring into the public conversation the hidden ways that medical care gets made expensive today, including the third-party payers that nobody likes to look at, right? If we think we're covered, then we think it's free, but somebody is paying, and somehow those payments are getting made, and somebody's pushing up prices, and those payments are coming out all kinds of holes in the leaky boat to affect all of our pocketbooks in various ways. But how much do you want to take those hidden costs that appear free at the time, like when your insurance covers an expensive test, and bring them out into the open and make us feel responsible for them? Tough political challenge as well as an economic challenge. Lori in Morningside Heights, you're on WNYC. What would you ask the president about health care tonight?
Well, I would ask President Obama, why is it that the man that we voted in to stand for change and to be bold, why is he lacking political courage to actually enact real healthcare reform? We are the only industrialized country in the world that doesn't have a national health program. Is the actually most effective, cost-effective way to run a health program for a country, and it's also morally the right thing to do. So why is he saying that single payer is off the table?
Why no single payer? Question for the president. We had Anthony Weiner, congressman from Queens and Brooklyn, last Friday, saying that he's introducing a single payer alternative in Congress. And yet nobody's expected to go for it in any numbers there, including the Democrats. Let's see if somebody asks him that tonight. Justine, you're on WNYC. What would you ask President Obama about health care tonight?
Do you mean Josephine, maybe?
Oh, Josephine. I'm sorry. Yes, it's you.
Okay. Thanks. I'm on Medicare, and I've heard stories. I heard the president say himself, a lot of the savings for this are going to come out of Medicare and Medicaid. I would like some specifics. I heard through my sister, who listens to right-wing radio, that there's going to be a cap on people after which certain operations will not be allowed. This is for senior citizens. And there was some senator Sunday morning, I didn't get his name because I got a phone call, who said this is being going to be the burden of senior citizens.
A cap on operations?
According to age, not condition, age. For instance, this was her example. If you're 75 or 77, she wasn't sure which, you will not be allowed to have hip replacements.
Well, I'm sure that is not true. However, they...
But the point is we need specifics.
Right. And what the president did do, and tell me if, as someone on Medicare, if this makes you feel comfortable or uncomfortable, the president does want to appoint an independent commission to make recommendations on how to hold down the cost of Medicare that will get specific, and then the president or Congress has to decide whether to implement them. But
that has to come before they pass a health bill.
It would be an ongoing process.
Well, I think it should be ongoing. For instance, I know that in the hospital, you're not allowed to take your own medication. I was in the hospital. I take thyroid.
It has to be administered?
It has to be administered from their pharmacy for a ridiculous price.
Right.
That's one very small thing.
The $30 aspirin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Josephine, thank you very much. And again, don't forget, we can watch this news conference together tonight at 8. I'll be hosting a live chat on our website during the news conference. We can discuss what the president is saying and what the reporters are asking as it's taking place. That's our live chat at WNYC.org tonight at 8. You are invited. Thanks for your calls with very good questions for the president tonight on health care, including some complicated ones that I hope the reporters do put to him, because it is this complicated, like Josephine's question, when you get to the hows of holding down costs while covering more people, and we'll see what they actually do tonight. Now, here's some interesting news just breaking in the last few minutes about New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and a gun law that the Senate may pass today that most people in our area will find shocking. The bill would force New York and New Jersey and Connecticut and other states to recognize concealed weapons permits from any other state. They are much, much looser in some other places like Alaska. And currently, the states can each decide for themselves who may carry concealed weapons. But the bill, pushed by the NRA, would allow anybody with a concealed weapon permit from any state, no matter how loose, to come to New York, come to New Jersey, come to Connecticut with a concealed weapon on their person. And one big question for New York is, how will our new appointed senator, Kirsten Gillibrand, vote? She previously had a 100% rating from the NRA as a member of the House. And here is Kirsten Gillibrand on the Senate floor just a few minutes ago.
I spoke with our NYPD Commissioner Ray Kelly, who said the Thune Amendment would invite chaos in our cities and put the lives of both police officers and members of the public at risk by enabling anyone with an out-of-state permit, including gun traffickers, to carry multiple handguns wherever they go. New York City's strict requirements as to who can carry a concealed weapon have contributed to the city's unparalleled public safety. Our efforts, indeed our entire mission, would be severely undercut by this bill. In a city where 90% of all guns used in crimes come from out of state, it is easy to see how Senate Bill 845 would pose a danger to New Yorkers by greatly increasing the availability of illegal handguns for purchase.
Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, I guess her NRA rating is about to go down. We'll talk more about this next hour with NPR Money, Power, and Influence correspondent Peter Overby. But pretty big news for New York. Kirsten Gillibrand coming out against that NRA-sponsored bill and urging her other colleagues in the Senate to do so as well. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, do you know the Yes Men? They pull some outrageous political hoaxes, and now they've made a movie about some of those stunts, and we'll hear some clips and talk to the guys.